It's Christmas!
Christmas Day, my ass.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces.
An happy blooming Christmas to you and all.
It's November, which means it's basically Christmas, and it's time for another episode of Merry Britsmas. For this episode, I'll be recommending some more festive British comedy, talking about tasty treats, and exploring some 80s pop with a track that is the second most played Christmas song of the 21st century here in the UK. This December, a sitcom reappears on our screens that captured the nation over the course of three series, kicking off back in 2007 and finishing in 2010. It was a simple story of love. Boy meets girl, girl moves to Essex, boy later moves to Wales, boy's best friend and girl's best friend have a child together but seem to hate each other, girl's mom makes omelettes. If you're confused, well, you obviously haven't seen Gavin and Stacey. The story of Gavin and Stacey was heartfelt, sweet, and ridiculous in equal measure. Aside from the main duo of the show, the supporting cast really helped turn it into a classic. We have Ness, Stacey's best friend, played by head writer Ruth Jones, a force to be reckoned with.
Hello.
You made good time then.
Yeah. The road's been kind to me, I won't lie to you. She can be a cruel mistress, the M25, but today I've been lucky. All right, Bryn? Pam? Gav? Mick? Gwen? Stace.
Don't you need some sort of special license to drive one of them?
No, not for a 7.5 ton, you don't. But I've driven them bigger than that, Mick. I used to drive the sets for The Who on their world tours. Great days. Till I found out some things about Pete Townsend that I didn't like.
Then we have Smithy, Gavin's best friend, in a breakthrough role for James Corden, who also helped write it.
Well, we're getting an Indian. What do you fancy?
Chicken boner, lamb boner, prawn boner, mushroom rice, bag of chips, keema naan and 9 poppadoms.
I'm just going to stick it on the table, you know.
Whoa, just... right. Okay. What is it about a group of people ordering an Indian or a Chinese or something that is somehow unexpectable to eat your own food that you order yourself? Like, why do we have to... Why are we all just...
Well, because it's nice.
No, it's not. Not for me. Because I can guarantee someone, probably Stacey, will have ordered a korma. Am I wrong? Mick, am I wrong?
No, she has, actually.
Exactly, right? And in my book, a korma is pointless. It's futile. I won't touch it. But I can guarantee that Pete's already eyeing up my boonas. Am I wrong? Pete, have you thought about my boonas?
Well, yes.
Oh, right, but they're my boonas. You want a boona? Order a boona. That's why I've ordered two boonas.
Three, actually.
No, I've had enough of it. It was the same last week. I went for a Chinese with Chinese's missus. They're all dipping into mine going, oh, yours is really nice. I'm like, yes, it is. That's why I ordered it. In fact, forget it. I want no part of it. I'll order my own. I'll eat it in the car. I'm out.
Bryn, uncle of Stacey, played by the always charming Rob Brydon, brings a strange innocence to the show.
Morning, me.
Where have you been?
Been into town, I have. And I bought myself one of these. I only went in for a nano, and I've come out with a 60 gig. That's over 50,000 songs.
Have you got that many to put on there?
No, but that's the beauty. After I've put all of mine on, I've still got room for 49,853 songs, which I see as positive.
And a range of characters, from neighbours to parents to friends, mix it all up a little bit. The first Christmas special hit our screens back in 2008, in between series 2 and 3, so there was already a lot going on. Nessa had been looking after her and Smithy's baby, Baby Neil, with her boyfriend Dave, aka Dave Coaches. The Welsh half of the two families are invited to Essex for Christmas and, as with any good old TV family Christmas, conflict kicks off after Gavin announces he has a new position at his company in Wales. Meaning he will be moving there, away from Mum, Dad, and, most importantly, Smithy.
Oh, I'm just going to come out with it. The company I work for, about a year and a half ago, bought into another company.
Oh!
They expanded, and as a result, I've been offered a promotion.
Hey!
Hey! That's the spirit, Gavin! That's the spirit! That's the spirit!
Right, thanks, yeah. I'm really chuffed. And the other good news, well, we see it as good news, is that the new job is with the new branch.
Oh,
Swish.
In Cardiff.
Cardiff? You're going to be knackered, mate. It's like a 7-hour round trip, innit? Every day, they paying your expenses.
No, look, the thing is...
We're moving back to Barry.
What?
Just for the first 6 months to see how it goes.
Oh, I get it.
6 months?
You couldn't wait, could you?
6 months?
Right from day one, you got your claws
six
in.
6 months?
And now you're trying to take him away from me.
24 weeks.
Come on, let me just explain.
Get your hands off me, Mike.
It's a really good deal.
How do you know?
Oh, yeah, Gavin told me a few weeks back.
What, so he knew about this?
Yeah. And I did. Stacey wanted me to know.
Oh, I can just hear you. You and
what,
her
you
and her on? In cahoots.
But I thought we agreed.
Oh, how can we get him back
it?
Down here? How will we get him away from her like the bitches of Eastwick?
Don't bring me into this, Pam.
You are in this, Vanessa.
How? What's Ness got to do with it?
Oh, Pam, if you want to make something of it, I'll see you outside. No problem.
Right, come on then. Come on.
Whoa, you really don't want to do that, Pam? She was South Wales wrestling champion.
I don't care. I'll take the lot of you on, you bloody... You tats!
Oh, you want some too, Pam? You want some?
Ridiculous!
Now, Pam, let's not turn this into a race issue.
Leave it out, Bryn, eh?
Look, this is getting out of control. Why doesn't everyone just calm?
Everyone kicks off. Christmas Eve is a bit of a disaster. Of course, Christmas Day brings reconciliation, celebration, present giving and receiving, as well as a good old-fashioned sing-song courtesy of Gavin's dad and his keyboard present.
Here we go.
Ooh, oh, let's sing something. Oh, let's have a sing song.
No, hang on, I'm trying to think of something I know all the way through.
Come on, top of the pops.
What about this one?
Oh, I love this one.
I know you do.
Oh, when? We take Neil, the baby. I'm going for a smoke.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
The show manages to blend the family tension many of us have probably felt at Christmas, with so many people around celebrating, drinking and dealing with our emotions, alongside the actual joy and excitement of the season, which I think is fully captured right at the start with Smithy singing along to a Christmas song on the radio at the top of his lungs in his car.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. But in our world of plenty, oh come on! Smile of joy, throw your arms.
Oh, just go, mate!
At Christmas time. But say a prayer. Pray for the other one. At Christmas time, it's hard. But when you're having fun,
God for Lord,
there's a world outside your window.
Go on, sing it.
And it's a world of dread and fear. And the Christmas bells as they ring there are the clanging chimes of
doom, it's doom.
Well, tonight thank God it's them instead of you.
Oh my God,
that is a great song.
A modern Christmas classic.
Yelled off at his best.
And mature, don't forget mature always gets overlooked.
Do you mean mid-year?
Yeah, that's what I said, mature.
It's not one word, it's two, mid-year.
Is it? I thought it was mature, like mature cheddar.
One of my favourite parts, also worth mentioning, begins when Dawn and Pete, friends of Gavin's parents, come round with Pete's mum in tow, an elderly lady who seems a little confused by everything. They accidentally leave her there on Christmas Eve, and she pops up on Christmas Day to the shock of everyone, with Bryn trying his best to communicate with her.
Oh my Christ! God, what on earth?
Oh, Edna.
Are you all right? Don't touch her, Gwen. Stay well back.
Oh, but she's only...
No, you don't know what state she's in. She's bitten Dawn before now. Mick! Marco! Can you come in here, please?
What's going on? Edna? How did she get there?
She just popped up from behind the bar.
She's been here all night, bless her.
Blimey, we're going to have to get her home.
Right, everyone, could we please stop talking about her as though she's not in the room? Mick, what's Dawn and Pete's surname?
Sutcliffe.
Mrs. Sutcliffe, hello, I'm Bren. It's Christmas, 2008. Gordon Brown is the Prime Minister.
Bren, she's just woken up. She's not been in a coma.
And a final shout out goes to Smithy's rather awesome Christmas dinner plans.
So, Smithy, how come you're not eating with your family today?
I already did. We sit down about 11, half 11.
What, a full turkey dinner?
Yeah, the whole shebang. Just got to get around here, ain't I? I used to have three when I was with Lucy. I'd eat at home, then I'd come here, get to Lucy's for about four, then I'd go down to Crown, get on it, and then I'd be back here for about 10, and then probably just stay here through till New Year's Day.
Oh, that's nice.
The new episode is out this Christmas, and early reviews seem to be raving, so I, for one, cannot wait.
Well, I, for one, can't wait. Not just for the Toblerone, but for the whole thing.
Christmas brings many things. Decorations, music, film, television, family, drinks, and of course, food. It is the latter that seems to creep into shops at the earliest opportunity. Festive chocolates and snacks start popping onto shelves in October, and sometimes even in September. It always gives me the opportunity to pop to the shop for something or other, and return in a state of festive glee, usually to a wife shaking her head and tutting at me. One of the most famous British desserts that seems to have remained, for the most part, in Britain, is mince pies. Not mince meat pies, as some Americans seem to say. Historically, they have existed in various forms, originally consisting of a combination of meat, fruit, and spices wrapped in a pastry case. They have had many names, including minced pies, Christmas pies, and mutton pies. Originally, meat was the dominant filling, but the meat varied, ranging from goose to mutton to beef. The early Christmas pies were also large, enough to feed many at a feast, compared to the smaller individual pie servings that we have today. These festive treats were then linked with the Christian aspects of the holiday, with the manger-style look and design leading to people putting little dough effigies of the baby Jesus on top. However, these were then banned during the English Civil War, with Puritans claiming they were an abomination due to the way they depicted the baby Jesus, and the way they believed it trivialised Christ and Christianity. They did come back, and over time the meat slowly disappeared from the filling. It became a sweeter treat, with fruit and spices at its core. This seems to have been a slow change, but in 1714, a recipe in The Art of Cookery by Hannah Glass has no meat in its ingredients, but states that, "If you choose meat in your pies, parboil a tongue, peel it, and chop the meat as fine as possible, and mix with the rest." Lovely. Sweet pies may have become more common when sugar started to reduce in price. Another recipe book from 1861, Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management, gave instructions for a meat-free sweet version alongside a meat one. By the Victorian era, mince pies were pretty mostly sugary things. Often, fruit and spices were made months in advance to allow maximum flavour. They still took quite a bit of time to make, regardless. The famed 17th century diarist Samuel Pepys wrote one year, "He went to the Christmas service alone, leaving my wife desirous to sleep, having sat up till four this morning, seeing her maids make mince pies." Nowadays, every supermarket, bakery and cafe in the UK have mince pies at this time of year, making small round sweet pies that are perfect with a cup of tea or a glass of mulled wine. More unusual mince pie creations by retailers looking to craft something unique has meant the addition of salted caramel, chocolate orange, and frangipane. The Victorians also added some traditions that some still talk about today, such as eating a mince pie a day for the 12 days of Christmas bringing good luck, or making a wish when eating the first mince pie of the season. If you're not British, or just haven't tried one yet, there's still plenty of time to make that first wish, or get one a day to bring some luck for next year. I'll just eat one a day from now until New Year, just to be certain. Finally, this month saw the release of a movie completely based around a Christmas song. I have yet to see Last Christmas, directed by Paul Feig, who also directed the hilarious Bridesmaids, and written by the always brilliant Emma Thompson, whose best role is in Love Actually, no exceptions. But some reviews seem to be a little on the negative side. I'm sure I'll watch it at some point anyway, thanks to its festive heart. Regardless, Wham's Last Christmas remains a stone-cold classic. The song was summoned into existence by George Michael in 1984 when him and Andrew Ridgely, the other half of pop superstars Wham, were visiting George's parents. Ridley has stated that George disappeared off to his childhood bedroom for an hour and came back with a wistful melody which came to be Last Christmas. The two added A Story of Seasonal Heartbreak and recorded the track in August of the same year in London. It was released on the 3rd of December, and any other year would have been a dead set for the Christmas number one. However, some bloke called Bob Geldof had decided to get together a room full of pop stars and recorded Do They Know It's Christmas, which pipped Wham to the top spot. Last Christmas remains the best-selling ever single not to get to number one. It has re-entered the charts constantly in the years since, matching its number two spot, but never quite getting to number one. Maybe this year, with the film out, will be its chance. Also worth a mention is the video, which has to be seen if you haven't already. I'll add the link in the show notes. The story of the song is played out in wintry, snowy scenes amidst log cabins and ski slopes with 80s hair and fashion galore. A final mention, a shout out really, to an Austrian radio DJ, Joe Kohlkofer, I hope I pronounced that right, who barricaded himself in his radio studio in 2015 to play Last Christmas non-stop for 2 hours in order to incite more festive joy among the listeners. He eventually gave up when his daughter phoned to tell her she didn't like the song. He sounds like my sort of guy, to be honest. The artists that have covered this song is practically endless. Early covers include Danish pop singer Wigfield, future Doctor Who companion Billy Piper, and indie rock band Jimmy Eat World. Let's listen to a few of my possibly less known personal favourite covers that either stick to the essence or take the track in an interesting new direction. Canadian indie folk pop Aubijou adds some ethereal strings and tones to the track. Postmodern Jukebox do their usual thing of imagining an old school throwback version. Modern punk alt-rock duo Slaves kick things up a notch with their shouty style. Rising 80s new wave act, Pale Waves, covered the track for Spotify last year. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, did the very next day. A modern mega pop star, Carly Rae Jepsen, recorded a silky smooth version in 2015. The artists have covered it, starting with Molly Birch. Lucy Dacus as part of a holiday-themed EP. It's nearly December, and I hope to have two episodes out for the full-on Christmas season. So keep an eye and an ear out for one in early December and one closer to Christmas Day. Until then, eat a mince pie, watch some Gavin and Stacey Christmas special. You need to get prepped for the new one coming out this year. And listen to some Wham.
And happy blooming Christmas to you and all.